Amen. Are you ready to continue the adventure of spiritual maturity this morning? That's what James is all about. 108 verses, we have five chapters by which we can measure our maturity, our spiritual maturity, as we grow in Christ's likeness and we go from glory to glory to glory. Now, this morning, we have a 2,000-year-old today word that is just as needed, or maybe even more relevant today than it was in the days of James when he penned this. You see, let me ask you a question. Do we live in the digital age or the technology, whatever it is today, the internet and so forth? Yes, we do. The information age. Listen, and you know, we live in a time when lies are told everywhere, aren't they? Slander. I mean, gosh, it's just unbelievable. And they can circle the globe, a lie or slander, an untruth, a judgment that's uncalled for, can circle the globe in minutes. Amen? Boy, we need to be careful. And you know, when those kind of words today, they're so dangerous because people can be innocent. People can actually be murdered because of lies. Amen? Man, and so we have to be so careful. Or it can turn around and assassinate a person's reputation with just one untruth, just one lie. Someone said this, a gossip's mouth is the devil's mailbag. Verses 11 through 12, loved one, it's about godless words, words that are godless. And then in verses 13 through 17, it's about godless planning. But the sermon is about what is life. And let's begin now, beginning in verse 11. James, the half-brother of our Lord, he writes and he says, do not speak what? Do not speak evil of one another, and look at that word, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother, speaks evil of the law, and so forth. I'll cover the rest in a moment. Now, did you notice something there? He's not talking to unbelievers, is he? He's talking to believers then and believers today. Now, do not speak evil of one another, brethren, is a command from the living God. It is not an option or suggestion. The Christian who speaks evil against his brother, meaning to slander, to gossip, or lie about, first of all, you need to know where that comes from. Matthew, 12:34, Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's a command, and it says not to do those things. Don't lie about someone. Don't lie about your brother or slander your brother or backbite your brother. You know what a backbiter is? A backbiter is a person that chews up another brother or sister behind their back but doesn't have enough courage to even talk to them about that to their face. That's why they call him a backbiter, okay? Wouldn't you rather have somebody stab you in the front than stab you in the back? Amen. So a Christian, James is, he's very serious, and this is important, an important word today. A Christian who tears down or gossips about another brother or sister, who lowers the image of a brother or sister in the eyes of other people, does something. He destroys family. We are family. Amen? Did you notice that James uses the word brother three times in that, in our scripture this morning? And he says, and he who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother, speaks evil of the law, judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. But look what you are. He says, you're a judge. Boy, this is dangerous territory for a Christian. Man, I'm telling you, you speak evil of your brother. In other words, a command not to do that. But then you turn around and you not only judge your brother, it says that you judge God's law. What does that mean? It means that you place yourself at the same level as God. And we're not God. No. In other words, we place ourselves above the law, and we're not the lawgiver. In other words, let's say that I'm in my brand new Corvette that I just bought, right? That's, you know, just a gone by a dream that'll never happen, which is fine. Who would want to drive in that thing anyway? You know, I would. No. So here I am, I'm on the freeway, and I'm in my vet, and I pull off and on the side road to go wherever I'm going, and there's a stop sign, but I don't stop at that stop sign. But is it a law to stop at the stop sign? Okay, and I get pulled over by the police officer and said, you just broke the law. I said, what do you mean? I'm a pastor. I'm in a hurry. Do you see? That's why I drive a vet. No, what did I just do? See, I put myself above the law, man. But here's the key. Now, what law would James be speaking of here? He's speaking of James chapter 2, verse 8, the royal law, remember, where he says this, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, now he's quoting Leviticus 19, 18, that you love your neighbor as yourself, or whoever you come in contact with, he says, you do well. So the royal law, meaning it's the king's law. This law comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? It's the royal law. So a heart that has been opened by Jesus, loved one, will be open to those that Jesus loves. Does he love you? Okay, then we're to love one another. We're also to love our neighbor right there as ourselves. Now, verse 12, he says, there are five lawgivers. Oh, I'm sorry, not 10 lawgivers. There is only what? One lawgiver, and it's not me, and it's not you, who is able to save. The only way to be saved is through the only name, and that name is Jesus. Amen? But not only does he save, there's this lawgiver, the one lawgiver, but also destroy. You see, he can judge right, and we don't have right judgment. In other words, you know, he can separate a person from him forever and ever. What a horrible thought. And look what he says here. First of all, let me read this literally. In the Greek, it would read like this, but you, comma, who are you? That's a great way to put it. But he says, who are you to judge another? In other words, who are you to even condemn your brother or your sister? Listen, if we're going to measure ourselves, we have to measure ourselves by the right measurement and the right standard. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John 2, 6, he who says he abides in him, meaning Christ our Lord, who lives in him and he lives in you, ought to walk even as he walked. Now listen, who are we to really pass judgment on anybody? Now I'm not talking about righteous judgment. I'm talking about unrighteous judgment, okay? Who are we to really do that? I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, how can we pass judgment on any believer in Christ Jesus? Amen? I mean, think about it. Can you present one believer faultless before the throne? No. There's only one that can do that, and it's our Lord. Paul says in Romans 14, 4, he says, man, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, and here's the reason, for God is able to make him stand. Now listen, if we judge one another, do you think, now I'm being harsh, but you know it's in love. I love you. I'm speaking the truth in love. Speaking evil is a pet peeve of mine, okay? I don't like it. I hate it. I do. But, you know, when we think about it, he says here, now who are you to judge another? Did you know that you're judging, or if I judge someone, do you think it has, I just made a judgment against a brother or sister. Do you think it has any validity with God? No. I mean, he goes, are you kidding? Oh, man, listen. The success, I just read it, the success of any Christian is not dependent upon any judgment that we have. It says, for God is the one who is able to make him stand. Amen? That's so important. And listen, that's a very penetrating question. Who are you, who am I, to judge any brother, any sister, slander, oh God, lie about, backbite? Who in the world am I to even judge anyone? Listen, we're not only unworthy to judge, we are unqualified to judge a believer. Amen? But you know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? It says we're going to judge the angels, though. Amen? Think about that. Listen, we should train our hearts, and you do. You have to train your heart, your thinking. Don't judge people, because it's in the old nature. Does that make sense? It'll creep up immediately. It's so easy to do that. But only God knows, he knows everyone's true spiritual condition. Amen? He knows their heart. He knows their motives. We don't know all the facts. I heard a story the other day on the radio when Chuck Swindoll, I don't know if y'all surely heard of him. Anyway, when he was just graduated, or he was in seminary, and he was responsible for inviting missionaries to come and speak that are being supported by the institution that he was going to school at. And so he invites a missionary in from, he's coming in from Africa, and so he teaches that morning, and Swindoll's in the chapel lobby there, and he is just going on and on about this guy. He says, I can't believe I invited this guy. That was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. He was stumbling all over the place. I'm embarrassed about this guy. And so the guy he was talking to said, well, listen, he's just a little bit under the weather right now. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, he just got a phone call right before he preached that his child was murdered in Africa. You see how easy, huh? You see how easy it is to just look at something. You don't know. You don't know what your neighbor's going through right now. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know any, but God does. You have to be careful in your judgment. The Bible says in Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Paul the Apostle writes about in 14:10 of Romans, he says, why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? In other words, look down on him or whatever. He says, for we shall all, every Christian, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, okay? The place for rewards. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think I would be more concerned about you or me standing before the Lord than thinking that we're going to give an account of my brother or sister. No, it doesn't work that way. And listen, you know what's so sad about if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, then you forget or you don't know that, you know, whenever you judge another person, you know what you're doing? What I'm doing? I'm setting the standard for my own judgment. Remember what it says in Matthew 7:1-2? It says, judge ye not. The word judge is krino, where you are the judge, jury, executioner. You have on the robe, okay? Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. For with the measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. Do you want that? No, boy, I tell you, it is a command. Do not speak evil of your brethren. It's a command. Now, question, listen carefully now. Why is this particular sin such a huge sin in the church? Why is it today, even in the church it is, it's an acceptable sin? Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Can I just give you a few reasons why, from me? I think that the number one reason that this sin is so accepted in the church is that a believer really doesn't believe it's sin. They don't believe it's sin. They don't believe what Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, for every idle word that a man speaketh, he shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Every idle word, that the word idle means inoperative, a word that doesn't lift up, a word that doesn't give life. You know what I mean? It's an inoperative word. And the second reason I believe that this is such a predominant sin in the church today is that believers, although they would never say it, I believe it to be true, they have a very low view of the church of the living God. They have a very low view of the light of the world, of the city that sits on the hill that can't be hid. They have a very low view of the salt of the earth. And the reason that they do that is because they do not look at the church as the greatest family on this planet. And we are the greatest family on this planet. And we have the only truth and the living truth. Amen? Oh, and we don't want to have a low view of that. Not at all. Listen, we are God's purchased possession. We are the body of Christ. It says in Ephesians 4:25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you, here it comes, speak truth with his neighbor, Why? Well, we're members of one another. Verse 31 of the same passage says, and let all evil speaking be put away from you. We live in a church age today where Christians, they're bold enough to judge and backbite and all of that, but they're not bold enough to serve the Lord Jesus. That was good. Woo. Come on. Bold enough to speak evil of people, but not bold enough to tell others about Jesus Christ, that he's Lord. Oh, listen. I mean, what I say to you now, and you've heard me for 32 years, I say tenderly. I use that same expression because I love you and I know you love me, but I say what I say now. I speak tenderly and I speak the truth and I speak it in love. How is it that a Christian that can really just practice judging others all the time and backbiting and gossiping and tear others down? See, the Bible says this, 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must, it's not an option, must love his brother also. Now here's what I believe. No, I believe this is what the Bible teaches, okay? I don't want to give you my opinion. But I believe the reason that Christians, a lot of Christians just beat the heck out of one another and speak wrong things is because they're not really expecting Jesus to come today. And he may. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine being caught up into the air in the rapture of the church while you're beating a sister or brother to death and having them for lunch? You know what I mean? Oh, listen, the Bible says, Paul says this, he says, on that day, oh, that righteous day, not me only, but all who have loved his appearing. That's the rapture. Listen, Jesus is coming for a people that love him, that love each other, and are eagerly waiting for him to come and take us home to heaven. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. It says, from which we are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek, the eagerly waiting could be translated that Christians are standing on tiptoe with anticipation every day. Is he going to come today? The Bible tells us that we here not to live below our benefit, live below our calling. Listen, the church that loves Jesus is the church that is waiting for Jesus. Amen? Boy, when he appears that second time, Hebrews 9:28. Oh, when he appears that time, what a great day that's going to be, oh, loved one. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, it says, for Christ died and you died and your life is hidden in him. In him, that denotes safety, security. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And so when Christ, our life, when he appears, we know that we will appear with him in glory. Amen? What a day that's going to be. Listen, let me ask you a question. Does it hurt when someone speaks evil about you and you find out about it? Or they lie about you? Or they judge you and they don't have a clue what's going on? Do you know I get that every day? Now, I'm not trying to go, oh, Bill. I don't care. I get it every day. You want me to, would you like to hear a few of them? I don't. Christians that they never come to you, but they'll send you a letter or however they do it. Let me give you a few. It says, I would never recommend this church to anyone. Oh, a total stumbling block if you have a new belief, if you're a new believer. Beware of the cult-like atmosphere. Here's another one. Love never fails. Oh, love fails miserably here. Why? Because it's not there. Oh, you're going to love this one. Creepy. I haven't heard that in a long time. You know? Creepy is the word I would use to describe my visit to Calvary Chapel. The pastor, Bill Quinn, well, he doesn't seem sincere. His message was a wandering mess. Money is his entire motivating factor for this pastor, he spent 5 minutes talking about money, and then he mentioned it over and over and over during his sermon. That, you know, that's a lie. You know, that's a lie. I never do that. Oh, here comes. This is a good one. Oh, yeah, Bill Quinn. If that's you, I love you, man. No. An emotion-driven pastor. I am emotion-driven. Spiritual emotion, loved one. Now, an emotion-driven pastor, he's good at working the crowd. He's a showman. he's a showman, so to speak. Now, this is my favorite. I just got this one about 3 weeks ago. I hope you burn in hell for all eternity. Do you know that slander? And that is not, what Christian would say to another Christian, I hope you burn in hell for all eternity? I'll tell you who, a devil. Now, the Bible tells us this in Proverbs 10:18. Whoever spreads slander, God says, you're a fool. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a destructive tongue. That's all I have to say about that. Now, that's right there, 11 and 12, godless speech, godless words. Now let's move to the next stage, godless planning. And he says in verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city, spend a year there, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to make a lot of money or make a profit. Now listen, the word come is present tense imperative command, okay? So it means here to the readers and to us, give a lot of attention to this, and the word now is a command as well, and it speaks of urgency to the hearer, okay? So he says, come now. Now, we need to do a self-exam, all right? I mean, are you in this group? Are you in the group of verse 13? Look what they say again. We will go, we will spend, we will buy, we will sell, and we're going to make a profit. Now, listen. That is what you call a group of people who are confident in their planning. And they're so sure about what they're about to do. I don't find one mention of prayer, do you? No, not at all. Listen, they have everything under control. And what this planning is not only life without God, but it's godless planning. But first of all, what is James not saying to them and not saying to us? He's not forbidding this group or the believer. He's not forbidding them to plan. He's not rebuking them for that. Is it a sin to plan? No, not at all. Is it a sin to make money? No. Is it a sin to make a profit? No, not at all. Is it a sin? It's not a sin to go to a certain place. For example, let's take me. Is it a sin for me to take off and have a vacation and go to Colorado? Thank you. No. No, listen, it's not a sin. Let's just say I'm going to go to Colorado and I'm going to go up there, man, and I'm going to make a living up there. I make a profit. I'm going to get, you know, go up there and let my beard grow, wear one of those flannel shirts, have those hiking boots, you know, that cap. And I'm going to set up a little stand on the side of the road, sell art, you know. Did you say squirrel art? You got it. That's exactly, you want to see my note. You are a prophet. Squirrel art. How do you do it? Well, it's roadkill. So you take it and slap it against the, dip in paint, slap it against the canvas, and sell it to those. They'll buy anything up there. They buy pot all the time. They'll buy anything up there. No. And I say, dear Lord. Now, so I do that, and I'm going to make a great profit. But here's the problem. Look at verse 13 again, because there are three very important words for the Jewish believers then and for us today. And those words are today, tomorrow, a year. Time. Time is a precious commodity, isn't it? Someone put it this way, time is a strange commodity. We can't save it. We can't retrieve it, relieve it, stretch it, borrow it, loan it, stop it, store it, but can only use it or lose it. You ever ask yourself how much time you have left? Well, then don't waste it. Don't waste it. We don't have time to waste our life. You can't control it. You can't change it. You can't speed it up. Can't slow it down. The only thing you can do is manage it. Amen? All of us have been given 24 hours in a day, and we are stewardship. Time is something that God has given as a steward. What are you going to do in those hours that God has given you that time? Now, what James did say, okay, he's getting ready to give a today word, if you will, about their tomorrow, not only to them, but us as well. Look at verse 14. Whereas you do not know, literally it would be, you do not know the least thing about the future, okay? You do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? What an incredible question. It is even a what? A vapor, like a puff of smoke. You ever seen, you know, I don't know why I said vapor, I thought of vaping, okay? No, I don't vape. But I didn't know what vaping was. So I looked, I mean, I know that it's what it is, but I didn't know how that it works. And that doesn't really matter. But have you ever seen they vape and does it go away? I mean, it is gone. That smoke or whatever that stuff is that comes out, it's completely gone. And I mean, instantly. That's why he said it appears just for a little while. Man, and then it's gone. And it vanishes away. Here today, gone tomorrow. Now listen, this bunch here that James is giving us, they had every day for an entire year planned out, but they didn't even have a clue about what tomorrow held, or what even was in the future, or even the next hour. Do we? No, loved one, we don't. We don't know what's going to happen an hour from now, unless God tells us, amen? We don't know. See, between today and tomorrow, there's like a divine veil, okay? And let me give you a few scriptures. Jeremiah 10:23, he says, O Lord, I know the way of man, meaning human beings, is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. What a true word. Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are of the Lord. And then he says, how then can a man understand his own way? And of course, this verse that we're studying here, it's taken from Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, if you study out the men and women of the Bible, just take a look at Job. I mean, Job did everything right. He didn't do anything wrong. And man, in one day, does he lose everything? He has 10 children, and he goes out and he pulls them from the rubbish. He buries 10 of his own children. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his servants. And then later on, he loses his health. He's got boils all over his body. The only thing he didn't lose was his wife. And you know what she said? And she was kind about it. That's okay. Now, so would you say that things happen when we least expect it? You know, I talked to a person last night on the phone, and he had gone on a journey, left here and gone to back to his home, which he hadn't been to in a long time. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, why? He said, well, Bill, he said, you know, I prayed to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, you know, I've got a long drive, and I have to drive all night long. And he said, Lord, would you get me there safely? And so he said that he arrived safely. He thanked the Lord, but he left his car running, because he was removing the bags out of his car to take them into the house. And as he took the bags into the house and came back out, the smoke was bellowing, or whatever you call it, out of his engine area. And he said, God got me home all that night, all 2 or 3 in the morning. He said, I got home, and I started praising God that it was burning up because he got me home. And he says, it only cost me $900. Hello. But you see what I'm getting at. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. We don't know those things, loved one. And that's what we're talking about here. Things happen when we least expect it. Ecclesiastes 9:12 says, moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. He says, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. James says again, he says, for you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. You know, the brevity of life. Isn't life short? You know, when you're 18 and 16, 13, you think you're going to live forever. Man, time goes so slow. And when you get, you know, to be my age, 35, it really is moving. You know what I'm saying? And it just goes so quickly. I mean, we appear here for a while, and then it's all of the time you say, I know one day I'm going to disappear. Job said in Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. 7:9 of Job, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away. Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, fades away. He flees like a shadow, and he does not continue. Have you ever asked yourself, what is your life? What is your life? You know, if we're just a vapor, don't you think we should say, what are we living for? What did Paul tell us in Philippians 1:21? He said, for me to live is Christ. Boy, his heart was captured by the Lord. He says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. You only have today to get things right. You don't have tomorrow because you don't know if you're going to be there. Does that make sense? You only have today. What did the Holy Spirit say in Hebrews 3:7? The Holy Spirit says today, and that word in the Greek is urgent, today, right now, not tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, hear the word of God, do not harden your hearts. Boy, in other words, receive the word of the Lord. The Bible, Moses tells us in Psalm 90, he says, man, all of your days, he says, listen, they're going to pass away. We're going to finish our life, all of our years like a sigh. The day of your lives, they might be 70, and by reason of strength, they could be 80, yet they boast in only labor, sorrow. They're soon cut off. They fly away. So teach us to number our what? Days. Not tomorrow. Not the few. Teach us to number our day right now. This is the day that the Lord has given me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts toward wisdom. And that's a good word because a vapor, a Christian vapor, only has enough time really in their life to find out, Lord, what do you really want? Okay? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:10, it says, find out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. And only a renewed mind can find out the will of God. Amen? Romans 12:1 and 2. I asked a person the other day, do you want real life or do you want a life that's filled with illusion? You know what I mean? Real life. You know what an illusion is, don't you? Let me give you the definition. An illusion is something that deceives by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. It's not real. It's not real. Do you know, people are searching for life. Isn't that amazing? You know, Joni Mitchell. Now, I don't know if you know who that is, but back when I was young, I liked her. I still like her singing. And she's an incredible lyricist and artist. She wrote a song, and she said, I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow, here it comes. It's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life. I really don't know life at all. And there's so many people, they don't know what life is. Man, listen, you want real life? You know what? Life is a gift from God. Amen? And the only way that you can have that kind of life, John 3:3, Jesus said, you must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and not a life, the. I'm the only one. I'm the source of all life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The Word of God says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, they are established or ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Listen, I don't know about you, and I'm challenging you in love, of course. Wouldn't you say it's unwise to plan without God? Wouldn't you say it is foolish to plan your life without God? Some people say, well, man, I'm a planner. I mean, I have it all laid out. There's nothing wrong with this. It's not a sin. You know, but if you are a planner, here's what I recommend. I read this the other day. Someone said this, write your plans in pencil, then give God the eraser. That's a good word. Now listen to me. I know you've learned this, and I've learned it too. God's plans are better than our plans. Amen? They're better. They're always better. That's why we have to be seeking the kingdom of God, loved one. Matthew 6:33, remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things, meaning the things in life, will be added unto you. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, what, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your paths. Man, I think that we can trust our Father in heaven who knows what we need before we even ask him. Amen? Matthew 6:8. Before we even ask him. Now look what he says in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord what? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that or do this or do that. If the Lord wills. I say that all the time. And listen now, even to my wife, I said, I'll see you tonight, honey, if the Lord wills. But I never use it as a formula. It's not some formula. It's the attitude of the believer's heart. Amen? It's the mindset. If the Lord wills, I just want his will. If the Lord wills, I'll see you later on today. So listen, what does John tell us in 1 John 2:17? It says, the world is passing away, and it is. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh man, that's what I want. Jesus said this about the will of God. Mark 3:35, for whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother. Even in the garden, what did Jesus pray? Oh, Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will be done, but thy will be done. Now listen, to say that we love God and then live independently from God is planning to live your life without God. And that is sin, loved one. Man, that is sin. Here's the plan of God. You want it? Here it is. The plan of God, look at the scripture, is find out there at the end. Find out the this or that, okay, of verse 15. That's wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. Psalm 33:10, one of my favorite verses. The Lord brings the counsel or the plans of the nations to nothing, but he makes the plans of the people of no effect. In other words, everybody has a plan. I don't know if you know it or not. Biden said he has a plan. I don't know if you know it or not. Trump says he has a plan. Putin, well, he's got something going. I don't know what it is. You know, you think about, but I know somebody that really has a plan. His name's Satan. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that really my plans, I don't know about you, but my plans are really pretty small. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask and all that I think, according to the power that is within me, meaning the Holy Spirit. You see, I think God's plans, that they're better. Amen? Listen to this scripture. Psalm 33:11. The counsel are the purposes and the plans of the Lord. They stand forever. They stand forever. Man. And he says, and the plans of his heart, God's heart, is to all generations. You can study the Bible. God has a plan for every. You need a marriage plan, you'll find it in the Bible. Amen? You need a forgiving plan, find it in the Bible. Raising your children, it's all right there. You know, beat the devil plan, go to Ephesians 6. God has the plan, amen? But what we need to see, again, that God's plan is always better than our plan. You know why? It stands forever, number one. That means there's not one flaw, there's not one mistake. But the best part is this. His plans for you come from his heart. And there's nothing better than God who is love, amen? Oh, his plans are so good. Now look at verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance, and meaning that word literally, you're bragging and boasting about things that you have absolutely no control over, meaning tomorrow or the future. All such boasting is what? Now listen, it didn't say all such boasting. It didn't say not bad, not less than ideal. It said it is absolutely evil. And that word means it's absolutely wicked, because we don't know tomorrow. We don't want to be an arrogant vapor, okay? We don't want to be that. In other words, yeah, I mean, this was me when I was a young person. I've got life all figured out. Or you hear people say that, hey man, I've got my life all figured out. You know, I've got my college nailed down. I know where I'm going. I'm going to move to the promised land called Fort Worth. You know, I got to get a great job. I'm going to have mucho dinero. I mean, you know, I'm going to make it. Well, here's the problem. Someone tell me, okay, what year of life does that happen in, when you can figure out life? Is it when I'm 30? Listen, I'm 74 years old, and I still haven't got it figured out. Do you understand? I don't have it figured out. And I'm still growing and learning and groping toward the Lord and going to the throne of grace and asking Him for the wisdom that I need. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have life. And if you don't have Jesus, you're never going to figure out life. And if you don't have Jesus, like I didn't when I was young, listen, you walk in darkness. What did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Listen, only the Bible, no other book on earth, the Bible that came from heaven to us, okay? It tells me, why am I here? Where did I come from? What's my destiny when I die? Only the Bible tells you that. Jesus has already told every Christian how to live life. He said, Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3 that every believer has been given everything, all things, everything that they need pertaining to life, how to live that life, and godliness, the Bible says. It says in verse 17, now the last verse, therefore, meaning verses 11 through 16, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is, to him, it is sin. Boy, James is clear. Not doing what we know to do is sin. Now listen, what's he talking about? Planning without God. Speaking evil at your brother, okay? These are commands right here, loved one. See, to do good means to know to do the right thing. For example, in verse 11, we understood there was a command there not to speak evil of your brethren. Amen? Okay, so if we do that, we know it, but we do it. Do we sin? Yes, we do. Now, the sin of omission is what we're talking about. See, knowing what God, a sin of omission is knowing what God commands, but failing to do what God commands. The sin of commission is sin that is actively done, such as lying or stealing. Let me give you an example. If I know that my brother, Jack, you and this guy right here, okay? If I know that both of you are planning on robbing a 7-Eleven store tonight, and I don't stop it, or I don't report it, that's the sin of omission. I knew to do right, but I didn't do it. Does that make sense? Now, but if I joined with you, you guys came and gave me the plan. Bill, 7-Eleven, a lot of money. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Yeah, and they convinced me, and so I helped them rob it. Now, that would be the sin of commission, because I actively joined in with them. Amen? Yeah. If you know, look at it. If you know to do good and you don't do it, to him it is sin. What is life, loved one? Don't you love life? You're chosen in him before the earth was ever formed. Amen? Chosen in him. God chose you in him, meaning Jesus, before the world was ever formed. Your name is eternal as God because it's been with God forever. Think about that. Oh, and I mean life. I mean, we're just a vapor. We're here for a little while, just a little while, but eternity's forever. If you don't know Christ, let me ask you a question. Listen live, listen on the radio. Maybe you're here. If you don't know Christ, what's your plan? I mean, what is your plan for today? What is your plan for tomorrow? Because eternity one day is going to come. Think about that. Did you know that a person, if you don't know the Lord, you can't change your past? I can't change my past either. I can't change one thing I've done. Can't change one word. But you know what? You can erase your past in the eyes of Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? That you can come to Him and all of your sin is then as far as the east is from the west. Even God says in Hebrews, and I will remember their sin no more. That doesn't mean He doesn't forget it. It means He will, whatever you've done, you'll not be charged with it because Jesus paid it all. Amen? So, you know, if you're here this morning, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and you don't know Christ, you've never just I'm not talking about joining the church. You can't join. You have to be born again. I'm not even asking you to stay at Calvary Chapel, but I'm saying if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you've never said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me, and be my Lord. You can do that right now. You don't even have to get out of your chair. You just have to lift your hand high in the air and say, Bill, pray for me. Pray for me because I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Now, I can't see very well. If that's you, you have to lift it real high for just a second and let it right back down. That's all I need is to see that hand. Or I should say, only God needs to see it. Is that you? Well, Father, I see no hands this morning. Maybe you're listening live right now. Ask Christ to come into your heart. If you lifted your hands and said, Bill, I want Jesus, you ask Him. Say, save me. Save me now. And He will. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. I pray that your word, well, Lord, if it did offend people, that's okay. Your word does offend people at times. But I pray that every person hears it, it makes alive in their heart. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Help us to live today and love each other today, forgive each other today, and speak edifying words over each other today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.